Let's get to Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. Hello, Friedge. What an exciting night that was.
It was a great night of hockey, Jeff. How are you doing, bud?
I'm good. Yeah, there's a lot. And there's more on the horizon tonight, too. Like, you know, Rangers and the Penguins. The Panthers looking to close out. The Flames looking to close out against the Stars. But for a couple of things last night, and we'll start with the Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning, I sort of opened up by saying I really try hard always not to grouse about officials and officiating, because this is a discussion, as I always point out, right behind me, because I do this show live from my basement studio. Behind me, I've got boxes upon boxes, okay, of old hockey news magazines that go back to the early 60s. And I can just leaf through these every now and then. And you know what the discussion is 9 times out of 10 around officiating?
What's
it's bad and we need to improve it. It's bad and we need to improve it. What can be done? Like, this is as old as the sport is itself. So I try to always park that conversation. But
yeah,
if you want to have a whack at the pinata, go for it. But how did you see last night's Tampa-Toronto game?
Well, I think the one thing is, Jeff, is it's really funny. Like, I follow, just on Twitter, I follow, you know, a bunch of people who, obviously, I follow a bunch of people who cover basketball. I follow a bunch of people who cover football, like just people who do all different sports, right? And they all think that the officiating in their sport is the worst in existence. So, like, we're not the only sport that looks at it like this. Like I've actually seen, yeah, like, basketball and football reporters say, oh, well, this sport thinks they have the worst officiating. No, we do. So it's not like this is just linked or limited to one sport. You know, like, I'm with you. I don't like to, like, I have critiques about officiating from time to time. I don't necessarily think that that's a reason why a team wins or loses. Last night I really wanted to think about it for a while before I weighed in on the podcast. The thing I didn't like about last game is that, you know, the series was refereed one way. Like, if you look at the first period of game one, 3 minors and the Clifford major. First period of games 2, 3, and 4, 4 minors each. First period of game 5, 7 minors, 14 minutes and penalties. And then, and CC was the one who mentioned it on the broadcast too, just it was very different last night. And I think if you're going to change midstream, I think you kind of have to, like, that wasn't a game last night that you were thinking there was going to be a 5-on-3 in the third period. And I think that's, like, that's, like, I've thought a lot about last year, the competition committee. I did a lot of work during the season, like, just trying to figure out what was said in the competition committee. And, you know, Scheifele and McDavid were two of the most vocal players in terms of, you have to call the standard. You have to call the rule book. And, like, people listened. They had a message, and a lot of people bought in. And, you know, like, I looked at the beginning of this series, and I just said, look, this is the way this series is. I'm not 100% convinced that I like it, but, like, the first period of this series was called the same way for 5 games. And I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. Like, this is just the way it is. And I thought last night it changed. I think it makes it tougher for the players when that happens. But to be honest, like, that was a great game last night. They were two great teams going toe-to-toe. There is no difference this year between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are two equally good, talented teams, and I think tomorrow night is going to be incredible.
I think tomorrow's going to be incredible for a lot of reasons with all the Game 7s, and it's not just Toronto and Tampa. It's the Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings, and I haven't even mentioned yet, 10 minutes into this broadcast, the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes, and that was a real fascinating game last night as well. One more point on the officials. If you're looking for consistency, and that seems to be the hue and the cry, should it always be the same officials for every single game then?
I just wonder, I would be curious about it. Now, you know, someone made the point to me this morning that, okay, what do you do for round two?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, because you have, let's just say for argument's sake, Toronto wins and they go on to play Florida. Now, what do you do? Do you take one official from each series?
you take, because you can't, you know, he's saying you can't take two from the one series because they know one team's tendencies and they don't know the others. I mean, you can, like, I don't know. But, it's just interesting. We're having this big conversation, and I don't pretend to have to be armed with all the solutions. And to be honest, I don't look at this situation right now and say, you know, heading into Game 7 that the refereeing has really favored necessarily one team over the other. Although I do think Toronto would prefer to play Tampa 5-on-5. Like, I think the Maple Leafs feel 5-on-5, they're better than Tampa.
You know, you remember that segment on Wednesday nights when you, me, and Burke, you worked together, the first call with Brian Burke? And the point that he would always
stress. I blocked all those memories out, because they're
traumatic. You get on your therapist's couch here. I'm going to bring one of those memories back and you see how you deal with it. I mean, we talked a lot about, and Brian would always bring up this point, how crucial the first call of every game is. And I think as long as you stay to the standard of the first call, then I think everybody's okay. Because that indicates to everybody, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough to get a call or it's going to be easy to get a call. But whatever it is, you know, I thought Berkey's point always was a salient one, which is that first call indicates to both teams how the game is going to be called. That is going to be the standard, and you establish it with the first call of the game. And that first call comes with it, you know, that sort of look to the bench like, do we understand what just happened here? Like, we all understand now what this call means for the remainder of the game. You may think it's ticky-tack. That's fine. But this game is going to be full of them. That's going to be the standard. Or, you know, we waited a long time, and it's got to be a real penalty here. Like, we don't need to see chalk on the ice, but still, it needs to be a really big penalty to sit someone down for 2 minutes. And you look at the bench, and you say, do you understand what just happened here? I like that. I like that a lot, Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, I think Berkey obviously has very good vision into the game. It was really funny. Like, during the broadcast last night, I was getting direct messages on my Twitter and Instagram, you're not going hard enough at the officials. And then, because I wanted to think about it, and then we dropped the podcast this morning, I was getting direct messages and things like that saying, I can't believe you went after the officials. Like, you're such an apologist. Like, no matter what you do, someone's going to hate it, right? So you formulate your opinion and you figure out, okay, this is how I feel. And to be honest, I just felt like that one last night, if the series is going to be one way for five games, I think, and you're asking the players to adjust in a sixth game, I don't know. I just think that there's just a way it should have stayed. That's all.
Game 7, Saturday. Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto Maple Leafs. Game 7, Saturday. It's going to be an awesome day. Tonight's going to be a great night, too, the next couple of days. Yeah. And we'll see about Sunday. We could have more Game 7s on the horizon. This is awesome. Oilers and Kings. Yesterday, Connor McDavid said, we're going back to Edmonton. 4-2 is the final score. Evander Kane reminded everybody in Los Angeles this game is going to a seventh game. Your thought on what we saw yesterday from Connor McDavid? Maybe a thought on how Leon Draisaitl, maybe shouldn't have been in the game for as long as, should have finished the game, but he gutted it out. And your thoughts on the Edmonton Oilers beating the Los Angeles Kings last night?
Well, first of all, on McDavid, that's the best game I've ever seen him play. And it's obviously not a game where he had 8 points or anything like that. But it was a huge game for the franchise and himself. And, Nurse is not there. As you said, Draisaitl's hurt. And he willed them to victory. And considering the circumstances and what was going on around him, I have an incredible amount of respect for the way he played that game last night. He dragged them to victory. And I think that's the best game I've ever seen him play. And the other thing, too, is he took a big hit from Kaliev there. And you and I both think that that was kind of an accidentally on purpose bump.
A little bit of a shading skating pick, a little bit. We've seen
I think he was trying to bump him. I think he was surprised he got that much of him. I think he felt that McDavid, being McDavid, would see him and kind of veer off a bit. He thought it's like one of those things where he thought he would get him like slight shoulder to shoulder. But you know, you when you do get a chance to deliver a free bump to McDavid, you do it. I just want to say I thought that was, to me, that's the best game McDavid's ever played, and I just thought he was that good. You know, in terms of Draisaitl, you know, I know there's this big debate about injuries and should people play when they, you know, when they're hurt. First of all, only Draisaitl knows how hurt he is or isn't. And it's clear he's hurt. I just know me, and I can only judge others the way I judge myself. If that was an elimination game of a playoff and we were down 3-2, you would have to drag me off the ice. Like, unless you didn't actually let me get on the ice, you would have to drag me off the ice in a game like that. And so if Leon Draisaitl wants to play and the doctors are saying he can play, you know, sometimes I know people say, well, it you know, like you shouldn't do that. I mean, if there's something that's that meaningful to you in life, you're going to run through walls to get there. And I just know myself, and if I was in his shoes and I could play, you know, you couldn't peel me off the ice. It's that simple. Now, I think I would bet, and this is purely a guess, like I don't know, no one's told me, and at this time of year, no one's talking about anything. I would bet that this is, as Scott Oak mentioned last night, related to the injury of the end of the regular season. I would think that play where he got pulled down in the scrum probably aggravated it a bit. Like, that couldn't have been good for it. And, you know, I think he's trying to gut it out. And I can't fault him for that. If I was in his shoes and you asked me, look, you know, you could play, you won't be 100%. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to go in there and I'm going to play. And I think most people, if it was that meaningful to them, they would do the same thing.
When did McDavid get traded to Vancouver?
Oh my God. You know what? I was so tired last night. I'm going to stop tweeting anything before noon.
No. It was good. So for those who don't know, the Ted Lindsay nominees came out today, and Elliot puts up, you know, who the three are, and for Connor McDavid in brackets instead of Edmonton, he put Vancouver. These things happen, but
I've had two now, and like at this time of year, you really try to watch out for exhaustion. And I had one last night where I tweeted out that I meant to say both Russell and Broberg were playing, and Fogel is out. And I said I think Broberg and Nurse are playing, and Fogel is out. And immediately I saw I had like 50 replies, and I was like, what do they do here? And then I realized what it was. And I was like, oh, that's two in like 12 hours. I got to sharpen up here.
It's all right. It's good. Have you forgotten the days now? It happens to me after the first weekend. Have you forgotten the days?
I don't know what day it is today. I really have no idea.
Real quick, before we get to tonight's matchups, the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes, Brad Marchand yesterday, I'm not willing to say it was his best game, like that was Connor McDavid's best game we saw against the Los Angeles Kings, but man, Brad Marchand was excellent last night. Jeremy Swayman was excellent, and Charlie McAvoy, outstanding as well.
Yeah.
We go to a game 7 in this Homer series with the Carolina Hurricanes, and what's up with Sebastian Aho?
You know, I think that big hit last night absolutely was a huge determining factor on the game. I think it was you who said, and I have to tell you, I didn't see as much of that game as you did. And you said that Aho was never the same after taking that
whole game.
That was a big hit. Like, first of all, I couldn't believe he got up and came back. Like, that was a massive, massive hit. I really thought early in this series, Carolina was the better team. Boston has really come on as that series has continued. Like, they have really, really come on. And I would be nervous if I was Carolina. I mean, look, like, Swayman in a game 7, it's the biggest pressure game of his life. He seems to be a pretty composed guy. You know, I think you'd have to think on some level, Ronta's experience would be helpful for him here. But I think as this series has gotten on, Boston has gotten better. And that would be the concern. I thought Carolina early in the series, they had a chance to really wipe out the Bruins. The Bruins held on, and I think they've gotten stronger. Before we go on to tonight's games, can we talk about Minnesota for a sec?
That's where I was going next. Blues face off against Colorado as we say goodbye to Minnesota.
Well, you know, I think, so I had a chance, I didn't see them last night, but I had a chance this morning to see some of the Twitter posts from Cam Talbot's wife. And, you know, so obviously you and I talked about this yesterday that, you know,
hold on 1 second. Just for our listeners, though. So she put up pictures of herself with the kids and sort of intimated that whatever the next adventure is, meaning Cam Talbot is moving on.
Mm-hmm. Well,
social media posts. That's the intimation, I think, coming out of the social media posts. But just so all of our listeners, so that if they haven't seen the posts, that's what they were.
So I was thinking about this morning, Jeff, and you know, so you and I both felt that you could go to Cam Talbot for game six. And a goalie like Cam Talbot, he's never going to say no. Like, if you come to him and say you're starting the game six, he's not going to say no. Like, that's not happening. You're going to go in there and you're going to try to win the game. But we both agreed that they weren't putting him in the best position to succeed, right? That yes. When you're in that situation and you haven't played in a couple of weeks and all of a sudden you're going in game six of a series, you're not creating a situation where someone is in a best position to succeed. And unfortunately last night, like that's the way it happened. They're out shooting them early. Letty scores a goal and Minnesota, they just like a balloon with the air being let out of them. Like you could just see it right away. So, yeah. The Wild have a situation to manage here. And, you know, the one thing I say about that is, you know, it's kind of like what's going on in Vancouver with Bruce Boudreau right now. I think in these situations, as an organization and as the individuals involved, you have a choice. You can let it rupture your relationship, or you can say, okay, all hands on deck. We're going to sit down here and we're going to be honest and we're going to rip open all the scars and we're going to see if we can fix this. We're going to rip open all the scars, put everything out there and say, okay, now that we've done that, we can put this relationship together again. I'm very curious to see where they're going to go in Minnesota. I think that, you know, you've got to think that Fleury, I mean, I'm just guessing, probably won't be coming back after that. I think his price is going to be too high for what Minnesota can do. Right. But, you know, the one thing with Minnesota and Cam Talbot is when they signed him, a lot of people thought that was a crazy signing and because of the term. Yeah. And Bill Guerin said, no, we believe in this guy. And Steve Valiquette, actually, his ClearSight Analytics, I know that, you know, he was one of the guys who felt that Cam Talbot's analytical numbers were much better than his performance. And especially last year, that first year, it was proven to be completely true. And, like, I think if Minnesota wants to fix this relationship, they can, depending on how they approach it. I think it just remains to be seen as if, Does Talbot see this as an absolute deal breaker? And whenever you have the family tweeting, like that's always like a sign that you're in, you know, DEFCON. I always forget which one's the worst one, DEFCON 1 or DEFCON 5. But you're in the worst one. Whenever the family tweets, that's when teams go, okay, we've got a problem here. But I don't believe, Jeff, that means it's unmanageable.
I don't disagree. It just, at the time, it sounds really, really harsh.
Yes.
And I think we all understand it. And the minute you involve the family, it hits you on a level unlike one where, okay, the goalie's upset. No, this is the goalie and his family are upset about this. And the nature of the post seems to indicate that it has been discussed. amongst the family. That's where, when you're the team, I think, to your point, Frege, you say, uh-oh, we got a situation here. We can't let one go. We need to have the conversation.
You know, like, Jeff, I remember I had a talk with a GM once about this. And, you know, he said there was a situation that they had where I think a family member tweeted something. And, you know, I said to them, look, I understand why you don't like it. I get it. But you have to understand, too, that, especially the wives, I get a lot of people on Twitter who are public figures. We get a lot of crap thrown our way, and it's fine. It's the nature of the beast. It's just the way life is. And I ignore 99.9% of it. I've gained a really thick skin over the years. But there are some things that, you know, my own wife sees that they really bother her. And I think that's just part of a good marriage. And I think that, you know, like, I'm sure that, I'm sorry, I forgot Cam Talbot's wife's name. I'm sure she's watching the game last night and she's just boiling inside because it absolutely stinks to watch, you know, your partner go through that. And I think that you can't let it happen often. You can't be one of those things that happens a ton of times. But I think if you're the Wild, you have to look at last night and say, okay, would we prefer that didn't happen publicly? Yes, mm-hmm. we would. But do we understand that this is a partner showing support for their husband and a really difficult night for him? I think you have to recognize that, okay, that's an extreme situation, and you can't be mad about it. I really think that's the way I would look at it. I wouldn't like it if I was the Wild, but in that extreme case, I would have to understand it.
Kelly Talbot at Kelly Train is the Twitter handle our listeners can view for themselves. Real quick, the games tonight, we got some sixes. Which one interests you the most, Elliot?
Well, I would say Dallas Calgary, you know, Canadian team. With a chance to close out. I think as this series has gotten on, like we're talking that as Boston's gotten better as the series has gone on, I think in that series, Calgary has really gotten better as the series have gone on. The Flames have refocused and remembered to worry about what's important, and, you know, and they've gotten better. And I really thought game five was a mature win. Ottinger was stoning them again. And yeah. They stuck with it and found a way. And that's what good teams do in the playoffs. You know, and I think if you're Calgary, you have to look at this tonight as, yeah, you know, maybe we have one more chance if we lose, but we're not losing. You got to close the door. You got to end the chapter.
One quick update for the Rangers-Penguins game. And listen, it does not look great for Sidney Crosby, obviously. But from the Rangers' point of view, Tyler Motte has been cleared to play. He's an option tonight for the Rangers, Elliot.
Well, I think the one good thing about Crosby is that he skated this morning with the skating coach. Like, to me, that's at least a positive development. And I hope to look at this situation positively.
I'm with you. We have our fingers crossed. Okay, this has been great. Game six is tonight. Game seven's tomorrow. Should be a fantastic weekend. Thanks, Frege.
All right, Jeff. Take care, bud.
There is Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts, the blog and the podcast, and Hockey Night in Canada.